Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word to us. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for this time that we're in. And I do pray that you would make us like the children of Issachar, who understood the times that they were in and knew what to do. So, Lord, I pray that as we draw near to you, particularly at this time, particularly as we're going into a time of prayer, I just ask you to speak to us and encourage us. Lord, I ask you, I invoke you, I beseech you, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit on us, that you would begin to do more, that you would draw us to pray, that you would bring something that would bring the kind of revival that strengthens our hand, that many signs and great wonders and great things begin to take place. Because, Lord, we're going to need breakthroughs and change in order to see our world changed, in order to see the harvest come in order to see our friends and families come to know you as Savior. So, Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us even now and help us to hear and understand. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you know, I've been led to take you through the wilderness, right? And I'm going to continue that. In the next few weeks, I'm going to be looking at the Ten Commandments. I'm going to be seeing how what these things really meant and how we can keep them through Christ, right? How they're relevant and what they really, really meant. And then I'm gonna kind of do an overview. I'm not gonna literally go through every single verse, because when you get to the book of Exodus at the end of the book, and then Leviticus and Numbers, it can be, if you don't understand what's going on, it can be quite tedious. But I want you to get it so we can understand where we are, because there's something that's happening that happened to them that's happening to us right now, right? We can sense it. We can tell it. We can tell as we watch television that something's going on, can't we? Have you been paying attention to the Persian Gulf situation that's been happening recently? In case you didn't know, all of the stuff is kicking off in Iran again. We don't know where that's going to go. We don't know how it's going to affect us, but it will. I don't think that we're very much aware that when we read the scriptures, there's war that seems to be inevitable. There's the presence of what we would call the system of Antichrist, and there's trouble with the children of God. And how you interpret that determines where you go. I mean, some people think it's all a metaphor, some people think it's all literal, and so forth and so on. I will say this much, that anytime you look at biblical prophecy, there are some things that, oh, thank you, you gonna help me? Don't mind the guy behind me. There's really no one behind me. He's just a guy in the black suit, right? But whenever you talk about biblical prophecy and so forth, so many people want to put their spin on stuff, right? And they'll say, this is what's going to happen and so forth. But the way it actually works is the majority of stuff that God doesn't want you to know, he doesn't tell you. Am I making sense? Until the time you need to know. In fact, some of you may have had prophetic utterances that happened to you ages ago when you were very young. And you thought, this was going to happen and that was going to happen and this was going to take place. Thank you so much. Could you do my suit as well? No. Okay. You heard God say something, and then it seemed like your life went a different way. And then you find later on, oh, that's what God meant. That's what he was saying. You see, some of us in relationships and in problems, we start off and then suddenly you hit great problems and great issues and you think, man, this is going to destroy me. And then you find God working in it, and later on you go, oh, boy, I never anticipated that. If I had known that, I wouldn't have worried so much. I wouldn't have been in so much trouble. So that's the way biblical prophecy is. There are a lot of things that you're going to see in the book of Revelation, and somebody's going to tell you it means this, it means that, and so forth. And I can tell you this much, they have no idea. They don't know, right? But when it finally happens, then you know. Jesus came, didn't he? All these prophecies were in the Old Testament. Nobody knew, did they? And then he came, and he died, and went, oh, this is the fulfillment. And they still didn't know. He had to tell them. So there's a lot going on that I can't tell you what it means. I can't tell you whether or not Iraq is going to do this, and then this is going to happen, and Putin is going to do that, and this is going to take place, and so forth. But I can tell you that we win in the end. All right? I can tell you that Jesus Christ rules, and every knee one day will bow to him. and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the way it's going to be. And that's where it's headed, okay? So, I didn't come to talk to you about that, right? What about us? What about me? How does it affect me, right? God wants to work in me. He loves me too much to leave me the way that I am. So he works with me and helps me become in his image. But he also wants us to affect the world. He also wants us to reach people. So why are we doing it? Are we doing this so that, you know, we can have some big congregation so that the pastor can drive a Mercedes Benz and everything looks at, you know, you get what I mean? I'm not trying to be rude or anything like that. But is that it? Is that where we're aiming at? You know, what happens if you have your wife or your husband and your 2.2 children? Then what do? Yeah? You see, if we aren't people of purpose and we don't understand that God has a purpose, if we don't really understand where we're going, then we get distracted. Am I making sense? Right? Supposing I said to you, we're going on a day trip to Brighton tomorrow, and you got all excited, okay? And then I jumped in the car, you all jumped in with me, we got in a big old bus, and we headed toward the M4. Some of you don't know where the M4 is, do you? If you don't know the M4, you'll be happy, right? But some of you will begin to go, wait a minute, Brighton is south, and you're headed west. And I go, my bad, and I quickly shift to the M1, right? And some of you will be happy still because you don't know where we're going. But some of you will go, wait a second, the M1 is going north, and Brighton is south. Am I understanding? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Now, if you're the person that's just riding along, you don't even know what's going on half the time. And can I remind you of something? Let's put another scenario. Supposing that I had a bout, right? We were going to do an exhibition bout with Mike Tyson, okay? Now, you know Mike's retired, okay? But Mike is still as big as a house. You know, Mike is about that tall and about that wide. Did you know that? Right? So supposing I'm about to have a fight with Mike Tyson, okay? But no one tells me I'm in a fight, right? In fact, someone told me that I'm doing an interview live with Mike Tyson, right? So I walk in the ring, and I'm ready to talk to the man, and the man is ready to beat me down, right? Because I'm just in the ride, but I don't know where I'm going, right? So I walk and say, excuse me, Mr. Tyson, bam, get hit in the face, right? That's not going to do very well, is it? Then I want to call my lawyer, and I'm looking for the police to help me out, and the police isn't helping me because the police knows that you're supposed to be in the ring, right? And the lawyers already know. You signed the papers. You didn't even know. Mr. Tyson, bam, and he hits me again, right? You see, sometimes when you're riding along and you don't know where you're going, you get slapped by the devil, you see, because he's really good at that. He likes to destroy. You know what else he does? How many of you ever gone on a long-distance journey in a car? Have you ever done that before? You ever do that? Did you ever do that when you were children? Can I tell you that we in the United States have much longer journeys than you do, right? If you're from Britain or if you're from the West Indies as well. If you're from the West Indies, you know, you guys do 90 miles on the island of Jamaica and you hit the whole island, right? We do 90 miles. We haven't even got out of California yet. Right? We used to do these long journeys from California all the way to Texas. It took us 3 days. 3 days in a car with three sisters. No video. Right? No Nintendos, you know? None of that stuff. We were just in the car. I remember one year we had a tape recorder. That was the greatest thing you could ever do. Right? What do you do when you're in the car and you don't know where you're going? You get in trouble. You fight. Right? My grandmother, we call her Big Mama. Right? Yeah, it's true. Just like the thing. It's really true. Big Mama. Right? And my sister was recording, Big Mama, Big Mama, Big Mama, Big Mama, Big Mama. Had nothing to do. Right? You're in the car and you're just making trouble. Right? And then we had, when we got to Big Mama's house, I never forget this, right? They didn't want to wash dishes all the time. So they got these paper cups and they put our names on the cup. Well, my sister had nothing to do, right? So instead of putting Big Mama on the cup, she put Big Mouth on the cup, right? And she got a big whooping that day, right? My sisters got in trouble once, right? And they were banned. We were in Grapeland, Texas. Have you ever heard of Grapeland, Texas? If I wasn't from there, I wouldn't have heard from it either, right? It's so small that if you're on the motorway and you're driving and you blink, literally, you miss the exit, you miss Grapeland. That's how little it is, right? We were in my grandmother's house. My sisters got banned. And so guess what? They couldn't leave the house. Well, they didn't ban me. I literally ran to the shop, right, and got a drink and came back, and nobody knew I was gone because the town was so small and there was nothing to do. And guess what? When there's nothing to do, you start arguing, don't you? Fighting your siblings. Any of you ever fight your siblings? Anyone? Right? Which made me very upset because I was the only boy. And at first, I used to fight like this, like girls, right? And then one day I went like this and I hit my sister in the face. My parents said, "You can't even hit them anymore." That was terrible because they could verbally whoop me like crazy, right? And I couldn't hit them back. Of course, I'm very glad because it stopped me from beating my wife, beating everybody, you know what I mean? But I was annoyed because we had nothing to do. If you don't know where you're going, if you don't know where you're headed, you end up fighting each other. You end up scrapping over nothing. You end up mad about everything. You know, this building is quite nice, isn't it? It's not a bad building, is it? Right? I can guarantee you, though, if we were locked in here for 6 months, somebody would find something wrong with it, right? Somebody would go, "Hey, look, how did that get there? See that patch? I bet you none of you noticed there's a patch on the wall, huh? You will if you're here for 6 months, right? And that little cold that you endure during this time, 6 months from now, you'd say, we got to do something, but we got to get some central heating up in this piece. You get me? Because you're bored. So if we as believers do not understand where we're headed, if we don't understand what God is trying to tell us to do, we have no motivation to change. And then God has to whoop us in order to get us to do what he tells us to do. Some of the stuff that we go through are simply because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. That's the truth, right? And it's not that you're horrible. It's just you don't know where you're going, okay? So why am I saying all of this? Because today I would like to speak to you and get you prepared about prayer and fasting, because this week, beginning tomorrow, we have called a week of prayer and fasting, okay? And I want to talk to you about hearing from God and getting an understanding from Him. So I want to just basically have a look at the scriptures and then give you some practical stuff so that we can do this well, because I want to hear from God. I don't want to just presume. I don't want to just do. I don't want to just go to Brighton. I want to make sure that God told me to go to Brighton. I want to know how we get to Brighton. I want to know, do I take the A23 or do I take the M23? Am I going the fast route or am I going the scenic route? I want to know, do I pick up that guy on the road on the way? Right? I want to know. I want to know. I want to be in tune. I want to hear, okay? All right. So, first of all, first question. There's three questions I want us to look at, okay? The first one is, what is fasting? I'm not going to take very much time. I'm going to give a little briefing on that. Then, how do we fast? And then finally, why do we fast? Okay? So, let's look at the first one. What is fasting? Okay? A very simple question, a very simple answer, but I think it's important that we at least consider it so we're all on the same page. The Bible gives a scripture that says that fasting is chastening of the soul. Do you know what it means to chasten the soul? I don't know. Psalm 69, verse 10, it said, "When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach." David was so troubled that he chastened his soul with fasting. Let's go a little further, right? The Bible says that fasting is humbling of self. What does it mean to humble self? I don't know. The Bible says in Psalm 35, verse 13, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth." Sackcloth was what they put on to show that they were fasting. "I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart." In other words, when the person was fasting, there was something that was happening with their soul, and there was something to do with humility that took place whenever it happened, okay? Fasting denies our flesh in order to strengthen our spirit. Now, I need to say something about that, okay? Because there's two types of word for flesh in the Bible, okay? There's one word that basically means our bodies, okay? And our bodies are not sinful in themselves. Do you understand me? We're corrupted by sin, but our bodies are just our bodies. You know? Our bodies are not sinful in themselves. But there's another word that talks about our flesh, meaning our sinful nature. And it's our sinful nature that is corrupted. And that's what is redeemed through Christ. So my body itself, my body is not sin in itself, right? It's the corrupt nature within me that causes me to do what I'm doing. Now, interesting, your body is your house. And everything in this life has been altered because of sin. So my guess is that Adam was not quite like us. He had the same physical body, but his body was perfect. It didn't have any sin in it. It wasn't corrupted. And when he sinned, it began to decay. All of us are dying, isn't that right? All of us are. And sooner or later, all of us will die because we are decaying. And so, naturally, our physical bodies suffer from that, don't they? So I used to be able to jump a lot higher, right? I never had problems with my knee. Well, I did actually when I was young, but not to the point that I have now. All right? So all that's happening physically. But the reason why that is because of our sinful nature, right? So when we say fasting denies our flesh, there's actually two things that happen. There's something physically that happens, but there's something spiritually that happens too. Because our bodies are linked, aren't they? Aren't they? We're our physical body. There's three parts of us, body, soul, and spirit, aren't they? Yeah? And that's quite an amazing thing. Have you ever thought about that? Everybody can understand the body. When you start thinking of the soul, what's that? And you think about the spirit, what is that? There are three separate things. They are. Well, I didn't plan to talk about that, right? But it's really important to understand the nature of man. We are, in a sense, like God. We are made in His image. We are made body, soul, and spirit. So we have a body, that's the house. We have a soul that makes decisions. Let me give you an idea of what I mean, okay? You've all seen the idea of the good angel on right shoulder and the bad angel on the other shoulder, right? The good angel is dressed in white, and the bad angel is dressed in red, usually, right? And the good angel is saying, "You must not hit him. You must not hit him." And the bad angel is going, "Knock him out. Take him down," right? You get me? No, you mustn't hit him. The good angel is usually speaking very politely in King James English, right? And the bad angel is cool, isn't he? The good angel is going, "No, thou shalt not hit him. Strike thee not." And the bad angel, "Knock his block off," right? Now, here's the question. Who makes the decision? Who makes the decision? Say it loud. That's your soul. That's you. That's the best definition I can give you of your soul. All right? That's you. That's what it means. That's why the soul that sins, it will die. You see? You can't blame the devil. The devil's only telling you and encourage you to do something bad. You have to make the decision. That's why I am guilty. That's why I needed saving, right? So when I fast, right, I'm actually focusing. I'm actually not just physically. And by the way, when you're physically tired, when you're physically hungry, it changes everything, doesn't it? You know? You know that stuff that you don't really want to eat? You know, that stuff, those leftovers? Man, when you're fasting, everything tastes good, doesn't it? All of a sudden, you know, some of you would never go to McDonald's until you're fasting. You get me? Everything changes. And things, the hungrier you are, the more you suffer physically, right? The more focused you become, because you become weak. And by the way, just in case you didn't know it, and I'm going to talk about some problems with physical problems, but just in case you know, scientists understand now that fasting is actually good for your body. It's actually good for you. Good for your blood pressure, good for your metabolism, Love in its right place, right? I mean, if you fast for 40 days and 40 nights, well, that's a little different, right? That you can go between 40 to 55 days without eating before you die. You can only go about 3 days without drinking before you die, right? So Moses, on a mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, was nothing less than a miracle. Yeah? Because you can't do it. Oh, and Jesus had the same miracle, in case you didn't know, okay? All right. This is what it says in Matthew. It says, watch and pray. This is Jesus. And what I've done something I don't normally do. I've taken scriptures, right, to illustrate things, but they're really not talking about what they were talking about so much, right? But they tell us something when we're doing it. So this is one of them. This was Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested. And what he did was he said, guys, you stay here and watch and pray. And then he went about a stone's throw away from them and he started to pray. And when he came back, they were asleep. And he said, guys, couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? And it literally didn't mean an hour, for one season of time, for this moment, he was saying. And then he says to them, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Hold on just a second. He didn't say, watch and pray for me. Jesus was not getting them to pray for him. He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Because he knew that not only was Jesus about to go through the most important and difficult thing of his life, but his disciples were about to go through it too. They all left, didn't they? He said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. If you don't watch, if you don't pray, you are going to run into temptation. Then it says, the Spirit is willing, isn't it? The Spirit, that's a different part of us, isn't it? The Spirit is, there's something in you that comes from God, says, yeah, I'll do it. But the flesh, the sinful nature is weak. And so if you don't pray, the flesh will overcome the Spirit. If we don't get into a situation where we're where we're strengthened, and by the way, too many times we haven't prayed and then we go into a difficult thing and we haven't got God with us, right? We don't have his, we haven't been strengthened through prayer. And because of that, we're not ready. We can't face it. How many times at work you go, man, I got this problem at work. But do we pray? And when we pray, do we pray for ourselves? God, get me ready. God, I'm going to talk to Margot. I don't know what Margot's going to say. God, get me ready. Help me to make the right decision, to make the right, to say the right thing, to do the right thing. How many times you have that wife or that husband that's crazy, and I know I'm going to have to talk to them, and I'm going to lose my temper if I talk to them, and I don't want to lose my... God, help me. Go before me. Prepare the way. That's what we're talking about. And that's what Jesus was telling them. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's what happens. That's why we falter. I can honestly say that the best times in my spiritual life have been when I've been in prayer somehow. Right? When I've been drawing near to God. Thank you very much. I'm actually going to drink this now. How about that? Wow, I might need some more. I still have my throat. It's all funny and everything like that. I think I gave it to Brandon, right? But so he was singing, my friend. Anyway, that's another thing, right? So the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Fasting denies our flesh in order to strengthen our spirit. How about this one? This is an interesting verse because Paul is talking to the Corinthians and he's getting down with them and he's saying, look, this is where I am and this is what happened to me. And he says, I'm going to tell you about some visions and things that happened to me. And then he talks about how he has this thorn in his flesh. And we don't know what it is. Some think it was something to do with his eyes. Some think it had a lot to do with the fact that he was stoned in a place called Iconium. Right? And I don't mean he got loaded either. I mean he was stoned. Right? Stones, throwing stones, okay? So he got, some people think that something happened to him. But anyway, he asked the Lord 3 times to take it away. And this is what God said to him. It says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Isn't that interesting? Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I'm infirmed, the power of Christ rests on me. You know, there was a guy named Elisha, right? And he was about to die. And then he prophesied. He said, shoot the Lord's arrows. He was prophesying before he died. And then the guy died, and they put his bones in the ground, and then somebody fell on his bones who was dead, and they came to life. How weak can you get? You're dead, and the power of God is still working in you. That's crazy, isn't it? Right? That the power of Christ may rest. Listen to this, folks. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, where I'm infirm, that the power of Christ may rest upon. We want to be strong, don't we? We want to be powerful. We want muscles of steel. You know, we want lifting weights. I want to be able to say I can still do flips. You know, some of you used to do flips. Now all you do is flip to the floor. You know, but I want to do flip. You see somebody doing jumping jacks. I used to do that. And you want to do it. You can't, right? He says, I'm gladly because when I'm, listen, look at the next verse, right? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Whoa. In reproaches. That means when people talk about you badly, right? In needs, when I'm in need. In persecutions, when people are after me for righteousness' sake, right? In distresses, I do not like being under distress. Do you?
Nope.
No. But listen to what he says. For Christ's sake. If I'm doing it for Christ's sake, when I am weak, then I am strong. So when you fast and you feel weak, that's when your strength comes. That's why we do it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There's a principle that we don't get. I can remember some of the worst things that's ever happened in my life for the sake of Christ. Now, I'm not talking about the ones that I did. I'm talking about the ones that happened to me because I was a Christian and because I made a stand. And every time it happened, God's grace kicked in. And I saw something that I never experienced before. Now, you ask me, do you want to have... Some of you will know that we actually had a child that died. Some of you know that, don't you? Right? I've never forgotten that. So most of you won't know that. But she literally died in my arms. She lived for an hour. Right? And it was quite an amazing thing. But I'm going to tell you something. There was so much grace that I experienced at that time that was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me in my life. Now, do I want to happen it to happen again? Do I want to do it again? No. But I'm going to tell you something. When I was weak, then I was strong. All right? And I'm going to tell you something else. If you know any godly people, anybody you know, and you say, that's a godly person, boy, that person's really well, I can guarantee you that they've been through something difficult. I can guarantee you that. You see somebody with patience, I can guarantee you that they went through some tribulation at some point. And they learned to just keep their mouth shut and trust God. The one that goes, no, let me tell you, I don't want none of that. That guy hasn't learned a thing. Right? You know, and we like to listen to them. All the people who are talking all the time, but we listen, of course, none of you are like that. I know that, right? Right. So, why do we fast? This is a really important thing. Why am I going to Brighton in the first place? Am I going on holiday? Am I on business? Or is it life and death? Determines how you go, isn't it? Why do I fast? We fast when we're troubled, don't we? Let me tell you something, okay? When you are in dire straits, you don't want to eat. You don't want to eat. Let me show you something. I got in trouble with this. When I first was teaching, there was this is about King, the King Darius, right? And basically, he got tricked into putting Daniel in the lion's den. He was not a believer, right? And the Bible says that the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. Now, I had a student that said to me, you see, because King Darius fasted, God got Daniel out of the lion's den. That is not true. That is not true. God did not work for Daniel because King Darius fasted. It's not true. King Darius fasted because he felt stupid and he was worried and he didn't want to eat anymore. And let me tell you something. When you are in trouble, when you have great crisis, when things happen, you don't want to eat. You don't want to eat. The last thing you want to do, David had a son that was cursed and about to die because of his adultery with Bathsheba. And he prayed and he saw, and they said, here, eat. He said, I won't eat. I won't eat. I will not eat anything. And then the child died. And you know what he did? After the child died, he washed himself. He took off the sackcloth. He worshiped God. And then he came back and he said, give me some food. And he ate a good steak dinner. I'm sure it was. And they said, wait a second. They said, we don't understand this. What's this deal with you, David? You're acting crazy before, and now the kid's gone, and now you're eating. He says, look, I can't bring him back. I can't bring him back. When you are in trouble, when you are in real trouble, you don't want to eat anything. You don't. When you're facing serious issues of somebody might die, the last thing you want is McDonald's, believe me, right? He says, the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. When you're troubled about stuff, you don't sleep. You don't want to listen to reggae. You know what I mean? You don't want to listen to your favorite tune. You're in a mess, right? So we fast when we're troubled. That's not what we're talking about now, but it's true, okay? We fast when we need a breakthrough. We do. Here's Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the king of Israel, and all of a sudden, the Assyrian army came to who had destroyed all of the northern kingdom and destroyed everything around it and surrounded Jerusalem, was about to attack them. Let me tell you something. If all of a sudden you were at war, do some of you remember the riots here we had in Croydon a few years ago? You know, some of you know that I live at the pond. And at the pond, we live on a cul-de-sac. And the good thing about a cul-de-sac is it's a cul-de-sac. But the bad thing about a cul-de-sac is it's a cul-de-sac. Right? So if the wind blows on your street and trash comes, it just blows right through, right? But with our street, the trash just stops. Sits right in my front yard, right? But that's the easy bit. When the Croydon riots came, all of a sudden, about 200 plus young people came into the pond and decided to take out this jewelry store that's right by us. And they, you know, we used to have this ironmongers that were there. They decided to break into the ironmongers to get the tools to break into the jewelry store to take it down, right? Let me tell you something. When your home feels like it's being besieged and you're thinking, these people are rioting. What if they decide to catch a car on fire? What car are they going to go with? Mine. Right? And if a fire starts, where are we going to go? Right? Because the only way out is this way. Right? If they all come down our road, right? Let me tell you something. That riot made me think. It did. It made me think of an exit route in my back garden for a start. Right? But it made me think. Because if I thought, you know what I really thought about when that happened? I thought, this must be a little bit what it was like for my brethren in Sierra Leone when the soldiers started coming into their homes, right? Can you imagine your home and soldiers are coming and people are coming and they're going to shoot you and they're going to say, come on out here, we're going to rape your women and we're going to kill you, because that's what soldiers do. That's why they get paid the big bucks, right? Jehoshaphat feared. He had reason to fear. And then it says he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. That was the best thing he could have ever done. Right? He fasted. You fast when you need a breakthrough. Right? We fast when we need to make an important decision. You know, some of the reasons... I'm being honest now, and I'm not picking on anybody, but some of the reasons why our marriages failed is because we never should have married the person in the first place, but we didn't ask God. I don't hear any amens. Some of the reasons why our financial situations failed is because we decided to do something that we never asked God. Some of the reasons why our education situation didn't work, why we are great failures in our lives, is because we've never asked God. You know what we do? We go through life doing our own thing, and then when we mess up, we go, oh, Jesus, help us. Right? And then God comes to the rescue. We go, thanks, God, I got this now. And then we go about doing our own thing again. Right? And then when it fails again, we go, oh, Jesus, help us. Right? I'm going to get Crazy, right? We go, oh God, what about our young people? We need to help our young people. But you know what we do? We don't do anything that God tells us to do for our young people. And then all of a sudden, when they all go crazy, oh Jesus, help us. Isn't that what happens? Some of us who are older, we can see it because we made the same mistakes already. We made them. And we're going, young man, young woman, don't do that. They're going, you old fogey, you don't know anything. We're in the 21st century, don't you know? You know, and you don't have any idea that history repeats itself. And the devil's been using the same plan all the time, right? Do you think that it's a new thing that the devil uses sex to mess up men? No. Do you think that homosexuality is new? No. It's been going on for years. Same tricks, same traps all the time, right? We've got to start to say, God, this is an important decision. And you know what's funny? God is so good. He's so wonderful, right? Because sometimes he gets me in a position where I have no other hope. And I go, God, I don't know what to do. And I start praying because I know what to do. Because if I knew what to do, I would do it. And I wouldn't ask God. Yeah? So he puts you in a place where you don't know what to do. You can't. You know what? Shirley, you can relate to this. When they went to the doctor and they said, uh-oh, you know, we need to check you, right? And they started asking me questions, do you have cancer in your family and all this kind of stuff, right? I cheated. You know how I cheated? Because God had given me a word. I'm just being honest, right? God told me, you got stuff to do. Remember I told you, remember that airplane thing when I fell out of the flight? Some of you don't remember. I was in a plane, my wife and I were flying, and all of a sudden the plane started falling out of the sky. I know exactly what it feels like. You know, you hear about people dying in a plane crash, and you go, I wonder what they were thinking. I know what they were thinking, because we thought we were going to die. Right? Plane went silent, completely silent. Right? One lady went, we need to pray, we need to pray. That was all we heard. She was a Muslim. Remember one of them? Right? Planes dropping, 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 dropping. People are going up in the air. Right? And I'm sitting here going, well, here we go. This is it. Right? And then God speaks to me. He says, you got stuff to do. I was like, really? Okay. And then I knew the plane wasn't going down, right? And ever since then, every time something happened to me, so when the doctor started saying da-da, and the thought came, you got cancer, God said, remember what I told you? So I cheated. I wasn't afraid because I already knew I had stuff to do. You know what my daughter said after that? She said, Dad, anytime I'm flying with you, right? Because then I know I'm safe. You get what I mean? You see? So I kind of cheated. And in a way, we're supposed to cheat life like that. You don't have any money. What are you going to do? I got stuff to do. Right? So God said he's going to provide for me. I don't know how he's going to do it. Now, if I'm being stupid, that's one thing. But Lord, I haven't been stupid, so I can depend on, I can expect you. And by the way, even when I have been stupid, God, you forgive me and you work on me anyway. You see? Because I know where I'm going. Am I making sense? We fast when we need to make important decisions. Look at this one. This is in Acts chapter 14, verse 23. When Paul and Silas are going back to all the churches, he says, so when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. When they commissioned people to serve, they fasted and they prayed. Why? Because when you put people in a position of authority, it's really important. Right? You do not want Pastor Idiot to lead you or Deacon Dummy, you know? Yes, you can laugh. Deacon Dummy, he's not funny when he's messing with you, though, you know? And he's taking the money and all that kind of, you get me? You understand what I'm trying to say, right? We fast when we need to overcome the devil. Why can't we overcome the devil? Because we're not prayed up. This was funny because, once again, the disciples were trying to cast a demon out of this person, and they couldn't do it. And they brought him to Jesus, and this was a bad demon. This demon didn't want to go. And so the thing convulsed itself, and the person just about died, and did Jesus raise them up? And then they go, how come we couldn't do it? And then Jesus said to them, because of their unbelief, for truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, go from here to there, and it'll be moved. Howbeit, he said, however, this kind can't come out. See, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So what is that telling me? Some demons, you want to really get rid of them, you got to really get serious. Because prayer and fasting isn't a trick. It's not like you put 40 days in and then you pull out the, you know, cha-ching, and now you get it out. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you can fast for 40 days and all you end up with is hungry. Right? But the idea of when you humble yourself, right? When you become contrite, when you start saying, God, I need to hear from you, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about turning toward him. I got to go faster because I don't want to keep you here all day, all right? We fast when we need to hear from God. Here's Cornelius. Cornelius is a devout man. He's given alms and everything like that. And God, he's a Gentile, and the Gentiles have not received Christ yet. It's all Jews. And so here's Cornelius, and he's seeking God, and God says, go send to Joppa for this guy named Peter, and he'll tell you what to do in a vision, right? And then Peter has a vision that says, go with these guys, and so Peter goes. And so Cornelius is now here, and he goes, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. Why was he fasting? Because he needed God to do something. He didn't know what it was. He didn't know what it was, but he had the sense that God was going to do something, just like me. I can't tell you what it is. I can't tell you how it's going to happen, but I have the sense, right? And so he's fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, an angel, in case you didn't know. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Did you see that? Your alms are your giving. Giving to the poor, giving to God's kingdom. Your prayers, it says fasting. And God says, I've heard them. Let me tell you something, people. Every time you give something to God, he hears it. And it goes up. It goes like here. It's like a bank account, a spiritual bank. Every time you pray and you see God, he hears it. It's like a spiritual bank account. And when the time comes, he goes, right, it's time now. And now the breakthrough's going to come, right? So, he says, your prayers have been heard, your alms are remembered in the sight of God. That's what I wanted to focus on. And that's why we do it. Okay? Now the third one, how do we do it? This is the most important one in my opinion. Because if you don't do it right, you get messed up. So how do we fast? Okay? There we go. Handsome man right there. Moreover, when you fast, don't be like him. Do you remember two guys prayed? One of them was a Pharisee. And one of them was a tax collector. And the Pharisee lifted up his hands before God and he said, Lord, I'm glad that I'm not like some men, like this guy right here, right? Tex. I'm not like him. I fast twice a week. First thing he said. I give money to the poor. Unlike Tex. Tex, I can't tell you the last time Tex put money in the offering. You see what I mean? You know, and after all, he's a tax collector. Man, his job is messed up. He works at the dirtiest part of the government, right? Whereas I'm a religious superstar, right? God, I'm so glad that I'm not like other men, right? That's what he did, right? And this guy here, that was Tex there. Tex beat his breast and wouldn't even look up to heaven. I'm using Tex as an example, right? And he said, Lord, I'm not worthy. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, which one was justified at the end, right? Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. Oh. What's happening, friend? I'm fasting, man. Oh. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hold it! Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Why am I doing that? I want everybody to see, don't I? No. I am spiritual. Shama, shama, shama. You know what? You know, when God gives you a gift of tongues, it's a wonderful thing. Right? But some people think tongues are so that everybody knows I'm spiritual. Ha! Show me yum, hum, yum, 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 yum. Wow, look how spiritual Freddie. Oh, shabba, come, tell ya. Come, go, hum, hum. Right? You know, I was like, whoa, spirit. Watch me now, watch me now. God's about to move. Ha! Shum, yum, yum, yum. Mommy, mommy, daddy! Boom, shalalala. You know, I'm powerful. Everyone wants to watch their back now. Watch it. Whoo! 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 Who's next? Who needs prayer? The hand of God is here. You know what I mean? Don't be like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that they appear to men to be fat. What's the matter, Fred? Oh. Well, if you must know, I'm fasting.
Yes, I am.
I'm one of the spiritual ones, yes. Just wanted you to know. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. I want you to know, that's my reward. So everybody goes, look at Freddie. Isn't he wonderful? That man fast. One day I want to be just like him. Isn't that great? Now, you know, I've got my reward now. Done. Because that's what I'm looking for. He says, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. I'm going to tell you what that means in a second, right? So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. You want to know where Jesus is? You want to know where God the Father is? He's in the secret place. When was the last time you were there? Do you know what the secret place is? Do you know where it is? You know, is it in Chicago? New York? Oh, it's in Jerusalem. Everybody goes to Jerusalem, right? To find the anointment. You know, and by the way, maybe some of you have purchased it. Holy oil from Jerusalem. Came. In fact, maybe some of you purchased holy oil from Jerusalem that was anointed by a priest. Or maybe you were baptized in the River Jordan, where Jesus was. Or maybe you have holy water from the very river that Jesus was baptized, the River Jordan. Whoa! You are a bad shut your mouth. That's what you are. Nothing. Nothing. Go to the Jordan right now. He's no more in the Jordan than he is here. Right? Go to Jerusalem right now. He's no more in Jerusalem than he is here. Folks, we'll talk about that some other time, okay? And your Father who sees, your Father who sees in secret. I am so glad, Lord, that you see in secret. I'm glad. I'm glad that you know what my heart really is, and you know what we're really thinking and what we really want to do, because you're the one that we seek. He says, your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. Listen to this. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't have, if you're going to fast, right, act normal. Don't do a sad karma. Don't disfigure your face, right? Don't appear to men to be fasting. Right? Don't do that. That's what the Bible says, right? Instead, dress and act as normal. All right? And then go to the secret place. That's the place where you and God can meet. Right? And if you've never done that, start doing it. You know what you do? You know what I did one day for a while? I did it until we couldn't do it anymore. I would come here every Saturday, and I would get a chair right here, put the chair right there. And then I have another chair right here, and I get my guitar. And I said, you know, this isn't some spiritual thing. I said, Lord, this is your seat, and this is mine. Right? And you know what my agenda was? Nothing. I had no agenda. I didn't know what. I knew God wanted to do something. I wanted to see him move. Right? But I didn't know what that meant. So I just started praying. And you know what I would do? Sometimes I just played a guitar and I started jamming I wasn't that good at the time. I'd play a little jazz chords and stuff like that. Sometimes I'd get here and I would be so tired, I would just lay on the floor and go to sleep. Right? And then I'd get up and go home. And that's when I start seeing God do miracles. I'm being honest. Right? And I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't like when suddenly the earth started to shake and then lightning came from the building, you know, and then I heard the voice, Lord Jesus, here I am, God. It wasn't like that at all. But let me tell you something. God showed up. He does. So you go to you dress as normal, you go to your secret place, and then God will reward you openly. I just want to remind you something. I didn't say that. He said it. Okay? I'm almost done. Why are we calling for a fast? We're calling for a fast because we want direction from God for this year. I believe that God wants to work, and I want to hear what he has to say, okay? He says, this is one of my favorite verses. I'm always quoting to you all the time. Psalm 32, verse 8 and 9. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. That's what God promises me. And I'm going to tell you something. He's always done it. He said, I will guide you with my eye. But then he says, do not be like the horse or the mule. I quote this all the time. Which has no understanding. Horses or mule are strong and dumb. They don't understand. They don't know where they're going. That's why you have to lead them. Right? And mules are stubborn. And horses are strong. right? They don't know where they're going, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Have you ever seen a horse out there and you go, he a horse, he a horse, and a horse just runs away? Yeah? They won't come near you. Isn't that funny? We're calling for a fast because we're making some important decisions this year. We're going to have new elders, we're going to have new deacons, and new structures. It's going to happen very soon, right? I want to get it right. I want to put things in place, not for now, but for generations to come, right? I do. I want to put things in place, and that's what we're trying to do. Because we need a breakthrough this year. How do we need a breakthrough? Personally, I believe that, you know, we've got people that are ill. And we want to see God do miracles. Yeah? I'm so glad. Every time I look at you now, Bass, I'm really happy. Because when you fell off that thing, right, that was scary. You know? And I'm thinking, back's broken. You know, back in the day when your back was broken, that was it, Jack. You know, you were done. You were cooked, fried, and died. You know, the only thing that was worse than that was your neck being broken. You know? And they're doing that too, you know? So I'm, whenever I see you sitting down, I'm like, yeah. Because that's a testimony to me. Right? When I see you, I go, yes, yes, yes. You know? I do. And not the only one. Right? Finances. Folks, let me tell you something. We need money. Did you know that? You need money, don't you? Don't you? Yes, we do. So, how do you pray? I'm going to tell you some secrets about what I found out, right, in the heavenlies. Okay? I should tell you now, but I'm going to wait. Okay? I wait till next week if I get a chance, because I found some things that really are serious, and it's too much time, too late already, right? We want lives to be changed, and people, let me help you to understand something. You have this brother, this sister, this son, this daughter, right? This friend who's not saved. What do you think is going to take for them to be saved? You're saying, oh, Lord, I just pray that they're saved, or I pray that they live right. Maybe they're Christians, but they're not living right. What do you think it's going to say? Do you think that one day they're going to be sitting in their kitchen, they're going to go, you know, I have a wife, I have 2.2 children, I have a BMW, so I think I'll get saved now. Do you think that's what's going to happen? You know what it usually takes, because we're like horses and we're like mules? It usually takes shocking stuff. It usually takes tragedy. It usually takes their failure. You see, in order for me to be saved, I have to know that I'm a sinner. In order for me to know that I'm a sinner, I have to see the sin for what it is. And if you think you're not a sinner, then you don't need to be saved. So you want somebody to be saved? They got to find out that they need saving. So guess what happens when you start praying? Their sin starts finding them out. Yeah? That's what's going to happen. So don't be surprised if you start to pray and you start to fast that all of a sudden folks start getting mad at you. Or things start changing. Or people get sick. You say, man, I started praying, and instead of people getting healed, they got sick. Don't be surprised. What do you think? And start going, so God, what are you doing? Instead of saying, oh, no, what's that? God, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What's happening right now? And by the way, if you're in a time of blessing, receive it. But don't be stupid. We give God the glory. Instead of being, if you're stupid, then God has to knock you out. You know, don't go, hey, I've done this, I'm really good now, I can just cruise. And now God's got to do something to you. You know, give God the glory. Serve him. Give him his money. Right? Don't get to a point where you have to, he's got to say, I'm broke. Right? Because guess what? Your money can be like a bag of holes. Right? You put it in and it just drops out. You get me? Give him his due. And we got to talk about that another time too. Because money, you know, I don't like talking about money, because as soon as they do it, people think I want it. I'm going to tell you one thing so you know. If I wanted money, I would not be here. Right? Because, I mean, you guys know that there's more money in the United States than there is here, don't you? If I do the same thing over there, I'm going to get paid 3 times as much, right? So don't ever put that on me, okay? You can put it on that guy, but don't put it on me, okay? Don't you want to see our community changed? Everybody's talking about knife crime, yeah? Amen. Don't you want to see a change?
Amen.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? There's something I forgot to tell you, and I'm sorry. This week coming, right, there are 2 weeks where all the Croydon churches are trying to encourage people to pray. Right? And they're asking us to sign up for hours where we would pray for an hour. Right? And I knew about it, but I got ill, and I had this and that and everything, and I forgot. I just plain forgot. This Wednesday, while we're fasting, on the Wednesday, the churches are going to be getting together, right? We are going to stay here, right? But we're going to pray with them throughout the city. So what I'm going to, all I can do, I'm going to see if I can find out somehow what the website is, because I don't even know, right? But we're the idea is to sign up for an hour and say, that hour I'm going to pray. And it's for 2 weeks, right? So all I can do is see if I can find out and then send it out as much as I can to everybody. Because if all the churches start praying, right, all together, we can change Croydon, can't we?
Amen.
So I apologize, right? I just have too much on my plate. You know, have you ever had, you know, too much food on your plate? Yeah, somebody said never, right? Well, I have, right? But if we're going to change our communities, we got to pray. We got to pray united, okay? All right. Now, here's some practical things, and then I'm done, okay, that I need you to know. First of all, some may find it difficult to fast from food, and there are reasons why that. Sometimes we have dietary issues. Some of you have high blood pressure. You have this and that, and you have to be very, very careful of that, right? Others have work requirements, and you can't go to work, and then you can't function because you can't eat. Do you understand me? So that shouldn't be a problem for most of us, but some may have those problems. But I want to make a suggestion to you, all right? You can still fast. You can still fast because fasting is focusing. It's about our soul, isn't it? Right? So how about this? How about fasting from TV or videos or some other form of entertainment? Maybe for a couple of hours every night or a couple in the afternoon, right? Instead of watching EastEnders, I turn to God-enders. You know what I mean? Or instead of watching some, you get me? Or instead of saying, I'm going to do that vid. This week, I'm going to turn. I'm going to focus. I'm going to give God some time. Because if you spend the whole week not eating and you don't pray, you've wasted your time. Right? But every time I get hungry and I'm fasting, it reminds me to draw near to God. And so I'll be working and I'll be going, Lord, da-da, because I'm hungry. Right? It does. And boy, man, I tell you, any food starts feeling good after a while. You get me? But then after a while, you start forgetting it. You do. So, if you find that, this is not a bondage now. I'm not trying to, nobody's going to go, are you fasting? How much have you fasted? No one's going to do that. All right? We're not going to do that. This is something that we choose to do. It's just like being here. Right? Nobody forces you to come to church. Have they? Well, a couple of kids. But anyway, right? You get me? But we come because we want to hear from God, don't we? So we want you to hear from, we want you to seek God that way, right? This is another interesting thing. Daniel fasted from pleasant food. This is in Daniel chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. I didn't bother to put it up there because I knew it was going to take too much time. But what Daniel did, he set his heart to seek God. And what he did, he said, I'm not going to eat steaks. I'm not going to drink wine. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to give it the bare minimum, right? So instead of eating his normal diet, he just ate enough to sustain him, right? But he considered, read it and have a look, right? So these are all other ways that we can join and see God together, right? But whatever you do, number one, make sure that you pray. Make sure that you pray. Number two, make sure that you go to the secret place. And by the way, when we join together, we're joining together to hear from God, right? Then make sure that your heart is in the right place. So evaluate yourself, Lord, if there's anything I need to do, forgive me. Confession, God, I confess it to you. God, I repent, because if I got stuff in my heart and stuff in my life, I'm not going to be able to hear from God, right? I'm just going very quick, all right? And then expect God to speak to you. How does God speak? God will speak as you read the Word of God. God will speak through visions. People, let me tell you something. God still speaks through visions. Guess what? He speaks through dreams too. I think I mentioned to you there's four kind of dreams that I know of. Right? There's the pizza dream where you ate too much pizza. Yeah? And so you're dreaming. Yeah? There's what I call a troubled dream where you're worried about something or you're thinking about something and so you dream about it. Then there's satanic dreams. They're dreams that the devil puts on us and tries to get us to think badly and things like that. And then there are dreams that come from God. All right? Let me tell you something. God hasn't stopped. He hasn't changed his mind, right? He still speaks, and he wants to speak. And God will speak. God will give you a vision, some of you. He'll give you a dream, right? And what do you do when you get a dream? You wait on it, right? If you get a dream, thus saith the Lord, leave my wife and marry another one. You know that's not of God, don't you? Right? Because it's not scriptural, right? God speaks through prophetic pictures. God will, all of a sudden, you'll suddenly, it's like while I'm awake. You remember Peter? Peter was not asleep, and he had what he called a trance, and he saw sheets coming from heaven and all these animals. And then something said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he went, no, I'm not going to eat it. And God said, everything I said is clean. Don't tell me. This happened 3 times, and then it went up to heaven. He was awake. Sometimes God will give you a picture of something. Sometimes God will give, it's like, I had a thought, and it was like 3 mushrooms that started to grow. I'm just making this up. You get me? But God can speak that way. Ask him, right? God can speak through spiritual gifts. Sometimes we're afraid that somebody's going to shoot you down. You're afraid. If you have a gift, if God has given you a word of prophecy, bring it. Come up. Right? Weigh it. The Bible says that we can all prophesy one by one, and then we judge those things. And judging doesn't mean if you get it right, you're going to get shot. Or you get it right, you get good. You get it wrong, you're going to get shot. Judge means we judge what God is saying, because we know in part and we prophesy in part. Sometimes we get some of it right and some of it. Sometimes we don't get all of it right. Right? But if God is speaking, God will say something through you, and then he'll confirm it through you. And how many times has somebody said something, Aloma, I'm just using you as thinking, how many times has somebody, and you've been going, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. That's right. That's what I was thinking. Because God speaks through you too. You see? But what happens is we're just afraid. We don't think that God ever does. No one gets an opportunity. But we're going to have the opportunity while we're here to hear what God has been saying. We're going to ask you, has God said anything to you? Have you heard anything? Have you been listening? Is there? And God? And I believe that God will speak through you. Let him do it. Okay? And then expect God to reward you. Okay? Now let's pray. Father, I pray that first of all, you put it on our hearts to seek your face. Lord, because that comes from you. That doesn't come from us. That comes from you. So Lord, you're the one that gives us the desire to do your will and then gives us the ability to do it. So Lord, I pray that somehow that you would put on us a heart and a desire to draw near to you this week in particular. I ask you, Lord, to help us then to clear out whatever we need to do so that we can have the time and so that we can really have the focus of hearing from you. Lord, I ask you to speak. I ask you to pour out your spirit among us. I ask you to give us dreams, visions, prophetic utterances, whatever it is, however you want to speak to us. Father, I'm asking you to do it. I'm asking you, Lord, maybe some of us who've never experienced spiritual gifts, God, I pray that you begin to stir something up in us. So, because we need these things. It's time, because Lord, how are we going to change the world if there's no power? If you don't do signs, if you don't do wonders, if you don't do amazing things that show people that you are God. And I know you want to, so I know that we have to be in a position to do that. I pray that you'd help us to do that. Help us, Father, because we want to hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All your time.